We're back on the Bengals Beat Podcast. I'm Lindsay Patterson alongside Tyler Dragon covering the Cincinnati Bengals for the Cincinnati Inquirer. Our guy, Charlie Goldsmith, you'll see his stuff on Cincinnati.com. How you guys doing?
Well, it's not about how we're doing. Isn't it your birthday today, Lindsay? I mean, okay. How are you doing?
There's a certain point when you get older that you just want to forget about birthdays. And you're kind of like, yeah, it's my birthday, but, you kind of move on from it. So it's good. It's good. I had a dinner with family, so it was a good night. But, I'm kind of over my birthday.
Well, Tyler, are you at that point yet? I'm not at that point yet. Birthdays are great.
Look at Charlie. So, I mean, I know, it's bad form to ask a woman how old they are, but I'm just going to do it anyways.
I'm not going to answer.
You don't have to say, don't have to reveal how old you are, but if you want to tell the masses your age, feel free.
I will tell the masses that I was born a little after Jock started covering the Cincinnati Bengals. And it was around the Bengals' their second Super Bowl appearance. That heartbreaking loss. So I'll say that.
Okay. They have a good idea.
You have a good idea. Yeah. Like I said, birthdays are birthdays. There's more important stuff going on. And my birthday always falls around training camp. And as you know, the Cincinnati Bengals are in really day two of training camp 2020. Today's like the first day of school because it's full pads. The guys are going out there. You're really seeing a little bit of a difference from day one of training camp. Tyler, what were your overall observations prior to full pad day?
Prior to full pad day?
Yeah.
Well, prior to today, I was really concerned with AJ Green, number one, because, he was out there for a while and then, he pulled up with a hamstring injury, and he was, he didn't seem too concerned. He was, cheering on his teammates on the sideline and kind of stretching his hamstring out and kind of rubbing it out a little bit. But you never want to see those kind of soft tissue injuries. And, we all know AJ Green has been injured in three of the last 4 years. And for him to already be injured and the very first day the media was given access, that was not a great sign. And then Rennell Wren as well, he went down with what looked like a serious lower body injury on day one. So training camp didn't get off to a rousing start for the Bengals as a whole. But on that initial first day, I thought Joe Burrow, number one overall pick, he did perform well. He's already building a connection with Tyler Boyd, and that was evident again today on Tuesday's full padded practice. And on the defensive side, I really like how the defensive line is performing. They're creating a push. They're getting a steady pass rush. Overall, the Bengals have performed, I would say a decent level of training camp, but the defense is definitely ahead of the offense right now. And that was very apparent on Tuesday's full padded practice.
And Tyler, you mentioned something that Zach Taylor was stressing today. We are in the hot spot right now for these soft tissue injuries. We haven't just seen this in the NFL. We've seen this in all of sports. Pitchers in the MLB are going down at an alarming rate. So right now is about weathering the storm for the Cincinnati Bengals. That's why I'm a fan personally of being precautious with AJ Green and some of the other names you mentioned as well. It's about getting to the scrimmage on Friday and then trying to get into the week one game against the Chargers as healthy as possible. Has to be the Bengals' biggest priority.
I want to go back to Joe Burrow a little bit because you see the snippets and video from social media. You see him scrambling, and some people said it was more of the pressure from the offensive line. Tyler, did he struggle a little bit in the red zone today?
Yeah, he did. He botched a snap in the shotgun formation. The rain affected him a little bit with that fumble snap. And then he had a pass deflected, and it was subsequently – picked off by Carlos Dunlap. So it wasn't the best showing in the red zone for Joe Burrow today. It could have been two turnovers, but he just had that one interception. and you know, there were some balls in the ground, and the Bengals defense, first team defense, second team defense, and even third team defense, they outperformed the offensive units today by far. Joe Burrow, he even admitted that he didn't perform that well today. It wasn't bad, but you don't like to see turnovers in the red zone. You don't like to see botched snaps, because those are just missed opportunities. And in game days, those can lead to no points. Those can lead to turnovers or pick sixes the other way. So, you know, those are, you know, kind of rookie mistakes. And then obviously the weather had an effect on things today as well. But, you know, overall, I'm not going to be too hard on Joe Burrow, because this was his first full padded practice in the NFL. So I did not expect him to pass with flying colors, because, you know, this is just day one of pass in his NFL career.
I was joking earlier today that Joe Burrow, the red zone might be what he's most inexperienced at, because he had so many 30 and 40 yard touchdown passes last season. But in all seriousness, today is a day where we have to take into consideration, I think, especially the receivers that we're missing. You look at where Joe Burrow is now compared to where you want him to be when the season starts. We will have a much different looking receiver core then. Guys like AJ and guys like John Ross, and also especially having Auden Tate and Tyler Boyd in less prominent roles, guys who can really thrive in these creative plays you need to score. You want those guys not being guarded by William Jackson, not being focused on by Von Bell when you're at the end of the day. So that is something in Joe Burrow's favor. He didn't have his best hand dealt today, which he will have maybe a week or 2 weeks from now.
One thing that I'm impressed with, and we hear from Joe Burrow now with training camp starting at least once a week, and today he actually talked about that, what he's focused on. He's focused on getting better tomorrow. And when asked about if he's nervous or how he feels, if he's excited to get out there and getting his first, you know, NFL career start and just being an NFL starting quarterback, and he hit it out of the park, I thought, Tyler. I thought it was almost like a mic drop in his press conference, and I actually want to play that audio clip here.
Hey, Joe, when you were asked about the wide receivers, you seemed very aware that the season opener is getting close. It's only 26 days away. Now that you're into this and starting practices, how confident do you feel, given the current makeup of the offseason and things leading up to the game, that you can be ready for week one as a rookie quarterback?
Very confident. No, I feel very comfortable with the offense right now. I feel very comfortable with my guys. And I think – you know, I think we're going to be pretty good on offense. I'm excited more so than nervous, I would say.
Does that emotion surprise you, that you aren't nervous? I mean, it's human nature, you know, starting a new job like that.
Absolutely not. Have you ever heard anything else about me about being nervous?
Were you impressed? I mean, we hear all the time about this guy, the swagger, the confidence. When you listen to Joe Burrow speak, what comes to mind to you?
Yeah, he's very sure of himself. He's confident, but it's not an arrogance. It's a confidence that, you know, I put in the work. I am studying. I'm going to be on the practice field. I'm going to speak to the coaches. I'm going to speak to the receivers, build a chemistry with them. And that's where he gets his confidence from. You know, a lot of athletes, when you ask them, oh, well, do you get nervous, you know, competing? And some of them will say, no, I don't get nervous because I prepare for this type of situation. And Joe Burrow is one of those type of athletes. It's all going to come down to how he performs during the games, though. I say it all the time. Athletes can say whatever they want to me, whatever they want to the media, but until I see it with my own eyes when it counts, that's all that matters to me. So you can talk the talk, but I want you to walk the walk on the field, on Sundays, on Mondays, on Thursdays, when you have those real NFL football games. But to Joe Burrow's credit, he talked the talk and walked the walk at LSU. So now it is his time to prove it again on the next level, and that is the NFL.
My favorite part of the Joe Burrow story is how many times he had to fight just to keep a football career. How many third-string quarterbacks have we seen get buried at the bottom of the depth chart? And that's what happened to him at Ohio State. Then he transfers to LSU, and they had a kid named Miles Brennan, who was a top 100 quarterback recruit, who was right in the thick of it at first. And if Joe Burrow loses that competition, you know, he never even gets to start in the SEC. So Joe Burrow mentioned this, especially in his prior media availability to this one. That's real pressure when you're not sure if you're ever going to get to play football again because you're in the middle of a quarterback competition, or if you lose, you don't get to play. Now Joe Burrow knows he's going to get to do what he loves. He's going to get to play football. And that brings a sense of comfort to him. What's the worst that could happen? He knows that he's going to get to be the Bengals starting quarterback for at least this season, probably at least two seasons. And the idea is a long time.
His favorite weapon this year, if he can stay healthy, I mean, we look at Tyler Boyd in that comparison to Justin Jefferson and what he really liked in that slot position. But you look at A.J. Green. If A.J. Green can stay healthy, and you have Tyler Boyd out there, you have your one and your two. A.J. Green is sidelined right now. Tyler, it's almost like when you see that news and he goes down and trainers are over by him, that you get the, oh, here we go again with A.J. Green. He can't even make it out of training camp. But it really sounds like from talking to Zach Taylor over the last 2 days that they are just being cautious. Is there anything to worry about there?
I don't think so. To this point, he has some hamstring tightness. And Zach Taylor said, you know, they're going to be very precautious with Green. He's not going to participate in the scrimmage. And, you know, I'm thinking that this entire training camp, they are really going to monitor the amount of practices and the amount of snaps A.J. Green has. They really want to preserve him until the regular season. So it's not a concern right now. And for me, when a player gets injured or nicked up, I'm real cognizant of their body language. And A.J. Green, his body language, it looked nothing like Welcome Stadium almost a little over a year ago at this time. You know, he was distraught. He was emotional because he knew that he just suffered a serious injury. This year, it is nothing like that. The injury is not as severe, not even close. It's, you know, a minor tightness in his hamstring, and he was at practice today. He was cheerful. He was talking to teammates and, you know, walking around. He wasn't running or anything, but this is just a minor injury, and I do expect him to practice at some point next week for the Bengals.
I mentioned this earlier. I'm not concerned about A.J. Green having these issues, but just to play devil's advocate, I mean, you know, Tyler Boyd was practicing full go today. There's obviously a concern with A.J. Green, or they would not be holding him out. And this makes you think about what his role could look like during the season. You know, Lou Anarumo mentioned they might have Carlos Dunlap and Geno Atkins on quote-unquote pitch counts. Will the Bengals use their depth in the wide receiver room to allow A.J. to play a more selective role? The longer he misses and the more selective they are about when he practices makes me consider – how selective they're going to be with him when the games actually start.
Yeah, the problem is right now the Bengals don't have a whole lot of depth at receiver right now. You have John Ross, who, you know, is on the reserve COVID-19 list. And then T. Higgins, he is not participating fully right now because he is dealing with his own hamstring issue. So they are thin at the receiver position right now. They've Auden Tate has stepped up during training camp, and so has Mike Thomas, who they signed in March. He has jumped out to me during the first portion of training camp. He even caught a touchdown pass on 7-on-7 today from Joe Burrow. So they've had some good moments in that receiver room, especially with Tyler Boyd. As I mentioned before, Joe Burrow and Boyd, you can already see that they are building a connection, and it's developing day by day. And he is getting comfortable with Mike Thomas as well, because he's looked his way a few times, and they have connected successfully there too. So the receiver room is thin right now, especially when you're without your number one receiver and then your deep threat, not to mention T. Higgins. But to their credit, those receivers like Auden Tate and Mike Thomas. They are stepping up to the spot, and they are trying to earn a place in their depth chart and earn playing time this year.
The other silver lining to this as well is that they come into training camp with 12 receivers. If they keep six, that means the Bengals might have three receivers being cut who started games last year, and Alex Erickson, Stanley Morgan, Damien Willis. Then you got Trent Irwin, who apparently had a really nice catch today. So now they do have the opportunity to get more of those guys, more visibility before they might have to decide what their future with the franchise is.
I think going back to Auden Tate last year, it's almost a what could have been, because he was getting those opportunities, unfortunately, because the Bengals wide receiver room was dealing with injuries. But again, I think Zach Taylor is going to use Auden Tate. And again, it might just be a certain amount of reps, like you mentioned with Geno and Carlos. It'll be limited for some of the receivers. Tyler, what impact is Auden Tate going to have on this offense?
That's tough to tell. You know, he had a big impact last year, and that's because A.J. Green was out. So if A.J. Green is healthy, which we all expect him to be, then Auden Tate's role is going to be diminished a little bit, especially when you have a receiver like T. Higgins, who's a second-round pick who the Bengals want to get in the field as well. So it's really going to be about, you know, which receivers are healthy and which ones aren't. Auden Tate, he does not play in the slot. He's an outside receiver. So he is either going to take the role of A.J. Green, if A.J. Green needs a breather, if A.J. Green is out, or he can take the place of, you know, a receiver like John Ross. He's not the speedster, of course, of John Ross, but he's a big body, has a big catch radius, and Joe Burrow can, you know, throw the ball up for those 50-50 balls or those underneath routes that Auden Tate is pretty good at. So it all depends on how the injury situation shakes out and which receivers are available come week one and later on in the season. But I do expect him to contribute probably as a number four or even a number five receiver.
We had a chance to talk to Michael Jordan yesterday.
Going into year two, and he almost sounded a little more confident himself. He said, you know, he's really starting to get things more, and he has a good leadership when you look at the offensive line room, even on the right side alone. What are you seeing from the offensive line?
Let me preface my statement as saying today was day one in pads, so I haven't seen much so far. And the defensive line outperformed as a whole the offensive line in day one in pads. But there has been some good moments. In fact, Michael Jordan pancaked Geno Atkins today, and I couldn't believe my eyes when I saw that happen. However, Geno schooled him on the very next rep, so I do have to give Geno some credit for clapping back the very next rep. But overall, the offensive line, they're hoping to build some continuity up front and some stability. And they've had the same starting unit out there 2 days in a row, and Jonah Williams at left tackle, Michael Jordan at left guard, Trey Hopkins at center, Xavier Suofilo at right guard, and Bobby Hart at right tackle. And, you know, if they continue to gel together and build some continuity and move together as a cohesive unit, then they have no place else to go but up. And last year they finished strong, so they're hoping to build on their last season, their latter performance of last season. So right now it's still early, but there have been some positive moments. Jonah Williams and his one-on-one drills, he's performed well. Trey Hopkins, same thing. And team drills, I do have to say that Xavier Suofilo did make a mistake. He had a false start in the red zone. You never want to see that as an offensive lineman. Billy Price subbed in for him for that mistake, and then Xavier came back in and played the rest of the way and did not make a mistake again. So, you know, there's been some up and down moments, but overall, you know, for the offensive line, you know, it's the weakest link of the offense. So you want to see them continuing to develop. And I believe that they are right now, but it is just after two practices that the media has seen.
So heading into camp, we expected there would be three really huge position battles to watch during training camp: cornerback, linebacker, right tackle. Cornerback and linebacker have been rotating through players constantly. And so that makes you think what it means that we're not seeing that rotation at right tackle. Now it is the offensive side of the ball as opposed to defense, but you have to think what this might mean then for Bobby Hart and also Fred Johnson as we head into the second week of training camp.
I believe right now Bobby Hart has a clear advantage over Fred Johnson right now. I know a lot of Bengals fans don't want to hear that, but Bobby Hart has taken the bulk of the first team reps at that right tackle position.
And like you mentioned before, when you look at the defensive line, I mean, Carlos Dunlap is out there year 11 right now. And it's no real surprise when you see that being the strength of the team so far in day one at full pads.
Yeah. Carlos Dunlap, he had two interceptions in the first day of pads. And in Carlos Dunlap's entire career, he's only had two interceptions, and just today he had it in practice. So he had a nice day. Geno Atkins, he was creating a push up front. So overall, even Sam Hubbard, he had some nice moments. Overall, that defensive line, they have been performing well thus far in training camp, and you know, they're the engine that makes that defense go on that side of the ball. So they need to continue to create pressure, wreak havoc in the backfield, and that the defense can be that much better this year. First and foremost, though, they have to be able to stop the run. And that's something that they did not do a good job as a whole unit. But that starts with the defensive line. They can't just be worried about rushing the quarterback. They have to condense those running lanes and corral the running back, and they have to be able to stop the run this year, because if they can't do that, then they're going to be in a world of trouble again this year.
Remember how it looked last season when Dunlap and Atkins both were kind of struggling at the exact same time? What the Bengals are really banking on this year is that they have more defined roles. When you have a run stopper like DJ Reader, and when you have a proven rotational piece like Mike Daniels, Dunlap and Atkins can focus on more specific things. It's a more similar defensive line to what the Bengals had when Dunlap and Atkins were at their best. So what the Bengals are counting on is that the retooling they've done on the defensive end, this on the defensive side this season, leads to a resurgence from, you know, two of their most highest paid players, two of their longest tenured players, two of their best players. Hopefully, you know, they're hoping that continues.
What can we expect to see in the linebacker room? And I know it's only day one of full pads, and we're going to have more podcasts out during the week when you'll see more. They'll have a scrimmage on Friday night. But what are you seeing over on the linebacker side?
So Josh Bynes and Jermaine Pratt are taking first-team reps right now. That shouldn't be surprising. I reported numerous times that those two are the likely inside linebackers that are going to start. And, you know, Logan Wilson, he's out there with the second unit, as well as Jordan Evans. So I do expect the linebacker room to be improved. They like Bynes' leadership as well as his experience. And I talked to Josh Bynes this week. That story will be up later on, shameless plug. And, you know, he's really looking forward to this season. He thinks the Bengals defense has a lot of potential, and he likes his role with the team as a veteran leader, not only in the locker room, but also on the field. And he sees this linebacker unit as, you know, as promising, because he sees Jermaine Pratt as a second-year player, but he believes that he is emerging and, you know, his arrow is pointing up. And with Bynes' help, he believes that Pratt can even develop into an even better linebacker in year two. And then he's eager to help all the other younger linebackers in the room as well. So I'm really looking forward to seeing the Josh Bynes effect in this linebacker room.
Josh Bynes is a pro, and that's why they brought him here. And he, from day one, seems to be the guy that, you know, they are valuing and plugging in there for a major role. The one thing I'm disappointed we won't be seeing, at least for the near future, is how Sean Williams would have factored into that. That was one of the storylines after the Bengals made, after the Bengals signed Von Bell. How would Sean Williams be able to contribute? There was, seemed to be an opportunity at linebacker. These would be pivotal days for Williams getting acclimated into that role, if that is something the Bengals were exploring. Since it's just opening up to the media, you know, now it's not that clear whether or not they are pursuing that option, which is even makes it even more important what Josh Bynes and Jermaine Pratt are doing.
Yeah, and then to that point, Sean Williams went down with an injury today. We don't know the severity of it, but he did get carted off the field during Tuesday's practice. When I asked Coach Taylor about it after practice, he didn't have a diagnosis on it yet, but hopefully he can get back out to the practice field soon. But, you know, you never want to see a player getting carted off the field, but it didn't look too bad, but we just don't know the severity of it.
And that actually goes into our Instagram questions of the week over on E&Q Bengals. And yet you see Sean Williams go down. AJ Green is currently sidelined right now to be determined on if Trey Waynes gets back in 2020. He did get surgery. Zach Taylor confirmed that earlier in the week in his press conference after day one of camp. And they ask on Instagram, are the Bengals going to get snake bitten with injuries? And I think a lot of people, you look around the league, a lot of teams are dealing with the same thing. Are you blaming it on a weird offseason, not getting enough workouts in, or is this just normal training camp injuries can happen?
It's a little bit of both. You know, this has been an abnormal offseason. Players did not train as much as they have grown accustomed to in years past. And then, you know, you're – training camp on the fly, really. So these, you know, soft tissue injuries and, you know, knock on wood, the torn Achilles or the ACL, you never want to see those, but you can't be surprised when they happen during training camp, especially in a training camp as unique as this one, in the middle of a pandemic and players have been off for so long. And the Bengals, they've already seen their fair share of injuries already during training camp, but hopefully they can evade the injury bug from this point forward. But it's just the nature of football. Injuries happen, and, you know, unfortunately for the Bengals, they've grown accustomed to this. AJ Green last year, Trey Waynes this year, and now you have Sean Williams getting carted off the field. Then you have AJ Green with a minor hamstring, as well as T. Higgins. So injuries are kind of mounting up right now. The serious one of the bunch is probably Rennell Wren. So we're going to find out soon what his diagnosis is, but it did not look good when he got carted off the field during Monday's practice. He was distraught. You can tell that, you know, he knew that it was a serious injury when he was being exited to the medical staff and to the medical facility.
Let's go back to last year for a second. I think one of the biggest constant storylines was how many players there were who were injured but close, and will they, won't they? They're on the depth chart, but are they active? And one of my biggest takeaways from that is that Zach Taylor is a very cautious coach when it comes to injuries. If he wasn't, then I think, you know, we would have seen some of these guys a lot sooner last season. So it doesn't seem to me like Zach Taylor is pushing too hard and trying to get some of these guys back. We're seeing with AJ Green, you know, these injuries aren't happening because Zach Taylor is making them run wind sprints and do push-ups during practice.
Another follow-up question that we did get, again, you can send them over on Instagram, E&Q Bengals. Body transformation, which is something I normally don't get on the Instagram questions, but it's actually fitting because we talked to DJ Reader last week and Michael Jordan this week, and a lot of them said we dropped weights, we worked with our trainers this offseason. Tyler, are you seeing any of the biggest body transformation out there for some of the players coming into 2020?
Well, yeah, DJ Reader has dropped weight. And, you know, obviously I didn't see him last year in the Bengals uniform, but just watching film of him in a Houston Texans uniform, he looks a lot more slim and more fit. Jermaine Pratt, he's always been, you know, kind of a physical specimen. He looks good out there. AJ Green, his arms are looking bulkier. T. Higgins, even though he hasn't really practiced, I like the way he's out there. I like his build as a receiver, especially a rookie. He does not look like a rookie receiver. William Jackson III, he is healthy. He got his shoulder healthy. His body's looking good, and he's ready to, you know, perform well. He's in a contract year. So those are a few players that have come to mind during the first portion of a training camp right now. Oh, and I do also have to mention Drew Sample too. You know, he's looking healthy and fit out there. You know, I know he's been working out before training camp and this off season, and it's kind of showing because he's performed pretty well so far in training camp in these first initial days.
Don't sleep on the running back room either. Bengals tweeted out a photo of Joe Mixon, and like the caption was something about how much stronger he looked, which if the social media guys are noticing, that's pretty good. And also don't sleep on Giovanni Bernard's mustache, which has been the biggest storyline of training camp.
All of that's to be determined. Make sure you're sending your weekly questions. We'll get them over on the Instagram. Follow along ENQ Bengals and over on Twitter, ENQ Sports. As I mentioned, Tyler will be at training camp. I will be joining him later in the week. You can find his daily training camp notebooks on Cincinnati.com. What else is going to be up there, guys?
So I will have notebooks for the pretty much duration of training camp. So keep it locked for all those notebooks. And I have a story on Sam Hubbard and his recruiting efforts that is up today. I'll have a story on Josh Bynes, as I mentioned earlier, that's going to come up this week as well. And also William Jackson had a story on him earlier this week, and he has some good comments earlier today that I'll probably ponder on a little bit too later on this week.
And I had a story on Von Bell and on one on DJ Reader last week, and we'll see what happens here going forward in training camp, but I'm sure there'll be more coverage coming soon.
Make sure you're following along over on Cincinnati.com. We will have plenty from training camp over on Twitter, ENQ Sports. Thank you for listening to the Bengals Beat Podcast.